Good morning, everyone. I want to begin this morning by reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, as we continue to celebrate Advent this year, I would like us to ask a question this morning. And that question is simply this. Is it possible for us to miss Christmas? You think about how we're all sort of drowned in a sea of advertising and marketing starting right around Thanksgiving. And you kind of wonder, how in the world could anybody miss Christmas? But I actually believe that it's possible, very possible, for us to miss Christmas. We can go through all the motions of Christmas. You know, we can do the shopping and we can do the cooking and we can enjoy sort of the look of wonder on children's faces and do all the things that we do at Christmas, and yet somehow we can still miss Christmas. And it's interesting, as we read the Christmas story, a part of which I just read from Matthew's Gospel, I think what we see in this story is that there are many people at that first Christmas who actually missed it. They missed the true significance of what was going on. And like people today, they probably did that for many different reasons, but nearly everyone missed the reality that God was being born in a stable. And ironically, one of the main people who missed Christmas was the one who was at the time the king of the Jews. He was known as Herod the Great. Now, I know you're not going to believe this, but we actually have Herod the Great. I'm not going to say where he came from, but he is actually with us this morning. Welcome, King Herod.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I have been insulted and demeaned, and I am determined to set the record straight this morning.
Well, I'm so glad you're here, but excuse me, I'm not exactly sure how I should address you. Is it okay for me to call you Herod the Great?
Of course it is. The title is well deserved. I was a great builder. During the 41 years of my reign, I built theaters, amphitheaters, hippodromes. I introduced athletic games in honor of Caesar. I rebuilt fortresses. You know, it was my idea to cover the Temple Dome in Jerusalem with gold when I rebuilt it.
Huh. Well, those are very impressive accomplishments. But you know, as I read Matthew's Gospel, there were some things in there that weren't all that impressive. I mean, what about the babies?
You had to bring that up, didn't you? You want to skip over my great accomplishments and talk about what that no-good tax collector Matthew wrote about me? Fine.
So do you remember Do you remember these astrologers? Do you remember anything about this baby that I'm referring to?
Of course I do. How could I forget these men who came to ask me about the baby who was to be born?
What did you think of them?
They asked me what they asked everybody else. Where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? We've seen his star and we've come to worship him.
Did that, like, worry you at all?
More like concerned. Frankly, I didn't know what to make of them. So I assembled the experts and I asked them about this Messiah. They said that according to their scriptures, the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem. That's a small village about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. They didn't think there was much credibility there, and no one wanted to go check it out. But you can't be too careful when your power is being threatened. So I gave those astrologers instructions to go to Bethlehem and then report back to me. After a couple of weeks, when they hadn't come back to see me, then my concern turned to worry. I began to wonder if they'd found something or someone.
But Herod, Matthew tells us that you actually had all the babies of Bethlehem, all the male babies, 2 years old and under, slaughtered. How do you explain a heartless act like that as a great leader?
Stop it. I did what anyone in power would do. You have to protect yourself. There were only about 40 babies anyway. I was threatened. You do all kinds of things when you're afraid. Fear makes you strike out, doesn't it? Haven't you ever been threatened by someone before?
Of course I have, but I mean, I don't resort to that kind of
violence. Then you know how I felt. Listen to me. You ought to feel threatened now. Threatened by that baby. He didn't stay a cute and cuddly baby after all. He changed the known world. I should have wiped him out when I had the chance. Not that it would have stopped him. My son, Herod Antipas, conspired with a Roman named Pilate to have him put to death. And they succeeded. The two of them had him crucified. But he rose from the dead. How do you deal with someone like that? He's a king, like I could never have been a king. He threatens any kingdom builder. I tell you, he's dangerous. I came to warn you. You make Christmas about a chubby man in a red suit, or holiday parties, or gift giving. You make Christmas about whatever it is that you want it to be about. But you can't make Christmas all about you. That's selfish.
So that's the message you came all the way here to communicate to us?
I had my opportunity. I had my chance. My choice was clear. And I always chose to put myself at the center. I don't have much time left. I wasn't given a lot of time. But Jesus makes you ask yourself, who is at the center of my Christmas?
Well, obviously, that's a fantastic example, really, of someone who really missed Christmas, Herod the Great. And it's good for us to reflect a little bit, as we've just had the opportunity to do, on why he missed it. It seems to me Herod missed Christmas because this baby that was born was a threat to his throne. He missed it out of jealousy and fear. Early on, this Herod had established himself as a man who would go to any lengths to secure his position and his power. Eventually, he even was able to create his own army from Rome, and his empire extended all the way from Judea to the Jordan, from Syria to Lebanon. He was a very insecure man, and he was ruthless. Later in verse 16, as we've already talked about, Matthew says, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. You know what's interesting about that? That was such a minor incident in his reign of terror that the famous Jewish historian Josephus didn't even bother to write about it. I mean, that was just nothing compared to all the different things this guy had done. During his reign, he had the high priest of the Jews drowned while bathing. Not only that, he had his brother-in-law killed without a hearing because his wife accused him of impropriety with Herod's wife. So he killed the brother-in-law and he killed his wife. No big deal. She was just one of 10. Herod had 3 out of 4 of his own sons killed. Just before he died, he even had some of the best and most popular, if you will, citizens of Jerusalem put in prison. And he commanded that when he died, they be slaughtered. You know why? Because he knew that no one would cry when he died. And he wanted people crying for somebody, even if it wasn't for him. That's the kind of man he was. Alfred Edersheim, the great Jewish scholar, sums up Herod's reign with these words: so long as he lived, no woman's honor was safe, no man's life secure. And the ironic thing about this is, as if to appease his own conscience, he also did some good for the Jews. He built them a temple. He never intruded into the holy place. He didn't interfere with what the priesthood was doing. And we wonder, was he just a good politician, or was there just a little bit of respect for the God of the Jews? We don't know. But we do know that when he learned from the wise men that a possible rival to his throne had been born in Bethlehem, he panicked and he took steps to remove the baby. And as we reflect on Herod, I think it's safe to say that Herod missed Christmas because of jealous fear, deep insecurity, and the need to hang on to his own kingdom, his own control. And it's no different today. This baby Jesus threatens us because, make no mistake, he wants to take over our lives. He doesn't do it through force as Herod did. He does it through love. But trust me, he's no less dangerous than Herod. And there are those of us, you know, who enjoy taking time off to commemorate his birth. Some of us take comfort that we can run to him in times of trouble. Some of us really try to adhere to the morals of Jesus. Like Herod, maybe we're even willing to be benevolent as long as it somehow fits with our agenda and secures our kingdom. But as soon as Jesus insists on ruling, as soon as he makes a demand that might threaten our self-rule, as soon as he starts nudging his way into our lifestyle, our values, our priorities, our love life, our schedule, our pocketbook, our career, our friendships, as soon as he demands that we die. By the way, he later would say, listen, I'm calling you. If you want to follow me, then you've got to take up your cross and die. As long as we hear that, well, then we pull away. And so if you want to miss Christmas, then out of jealousy and fear and insecurity, hold on to the reins of your own life. There's another group in this story who miss Christmas. Herod wasn't the only one. Matthew says that all Jerusalem was disturbed with Herod. And there's some irony in that because, believe me, the inhabitants of Jerusalem never would have wanted to be lumped together with Herod. But they were here by Matthew. And though their reason for being troubled, I believe, was much different than Herod's, the result was the same. They missed it. So why did the inhabitants of Jerusalem miss Christmas? Why were they troubled? I believe they missed it because they were preoccupied with other things. They knew Herod. They knew that when Herod was threatened, all hell could break loose. They knew the kind of crazy things he would do. They knew no one was safe. And I believe they were so preoccupied and so troubled with the possible ramifications of Herod on the loose that they missed the significance of the miracle that had taken place just a few miles south in Bethlehem. They were so preoccupied with fear of an earthly king, a ruthless earthly king, they missed out on the king from above. It's almost like they could not see past their own immediate issues and concerns. It doesn't matter really why we are preoccupied. But like the people of Jerusalem, it might be, you know, some real problem or danger that kind of looms on the horizon of our lives. It might be the threat of losing a job. It might be a serious health concern. It might be a child we fear has gone astray. It might be the threat of terrorism. These are real problems, and they ought to concern us. We shouldn't ignore them, but they can cause us to miss Christmas. You see, Jesus demands our attention. Jesus rearranges our perspective on life. I'm reminded about what Paul said in Colossians. He said, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. That does not mean we ignore real life. It doesn't mean we bury our head in the sand. It's an issue of where we set our minds. Where we set our minds, where our focus is. And isn't it strange that so often at this time of the year, more than any other time of the year, our focus, our attention seems to be on the wrong things. So will you allow the problems you face or the pressures you face or the schedule you face to preoccupy you so much that you miss Christmas? That's still not all. There's still another group who missed it. Matthew calls them the chief priests and the teachers of the people. Ironically, they missed Christmas because of religion. That's right, religion. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, they started to inquire as to where the Messiah, the newborn king, was. And when Herod heard about it, he turned, of course, to the religious leaders who knew the scriptures backwards and forwards and asked them, hey, where is the Messiah to be born? And they knew. They knew from the scripture. The prophet Micah had said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And so they told Herod. And he sent the Magi to Bethlehem. And do you know what the real amazing thing about this is? The religious leaders didn't do anything about it themselves. They didn't. They didn't even bother to take the 5-mile hike down to Bethlehem to see if the rumor was true. And why didn't they do anything? I believe it had to do with the assumptions of their religion. They expected the Messiah to come on the scene in a far more dramatic way than he in fact had. They expected him to come as a national hero who would deliver them from Roman oppression, establish himself and the Jewish people as worldwide rulers. And yet here, the only one paying attention to this baby born in Bethlehem were a few weirdo Gentiles from the east. This wasn't the way the Messiah was supposed to come on the scene. How could God allow himself to come in the form of human frailty and weakness? And what they failed to realize that he was a deliverer, and he came to deliver them from a power far greater than the Romans, from the grip of sin and death and the devil. But in order for them to understand that, they had to humble themselves. They had to recognize their own need, their own sin, their own desire for forgiveness. But as religious leaders, they were so steeped in their own pride and their own self-sufficiency that they couldn't see it. Do you know that religion can actually cause you to miss Christmas? So you might be one of those Christians who, you know, you've been going to church your entire life. You have kind of settled into a comfortable conformity to a Christian lifestyle. But the reality is you've lost a sense of passion in your walk with Christ because you've forgotten why you came to Him in the first place. The reality of Jesus being God's lifeboat to rescue you from the grip of sin is just a faint memory in your mind. And so you go to church and you sing the songs and you read the Christmas story, but it never really moves you. Or maybe you're caught up in a religious way of thinking where you constantly measure your performance by a prescribed code of behavior. You're trying so hard to live the Christian life, you've forgotten that Jesus came because you can't live the Christian life. The Son of God came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's the great physician who came for those not who are well, but for those who are sick. For those who fail to realize their condition, despite their religion, will miss Christmas for sure. So there are three reasons we can miss Christmas. We can miss Christmas because of our own jealous fear that our own self-dominion is being taken over. We can miss Christmas because we are so preoccupied with other things. Or we can miss it like the teachers of the law because of our own religious pride. These are all obviously negative examples. But in the midst of this, we have one positive example. We have the example of the Magi, the wise men. And I believe in this story, they surprise us with an example of how not to miss Christmas. And so it might be good just to start out to ask the question, well, who were these guys? Who were these so-called wise men? And, you know, there's so much mythology and so much misinformation out there about them that honestly, I don't know if we can any longer separate truth from reality. Now, you know that old song, "We three kings of Orient are"? Well, there's really nothing right about that song. So, first of all, we're told that there were three of them. Where does it say that? Find it in the Bible. And the fact that the whole city was thrown into a tizzy would indicate that maybe there were more. Some scholars believe they were accompanied by an entire army. Whatever the case, they were threatening. We've also been told that they were kings. Well, where does it say that? The fact is, these Magi were priests of an ancient form of a religion called Zoroastrianism. Though their religion had some elements of truth in it, as most do, for the most part, it was based on superstition and fear, and they practiced things forbidden in Scripture like sorcery and astrology. By the way, we get our word magic from magi. They were also highly respected by kings and often given positions of importance and called on for advice, which, by the way, is where we get our term magistrate. Furthermore, they weren't from the Orient, like the song says, but most likely they were from what was Persia then and Iran today. Not only that, when they finally got to Bethlehem, notice it doesn't say that they visited Mary and Joseph and the newborn baby in the manger. It doesn't say that, does it? No, it says they came to a house, and Matthew doesn't even use the word baby. He uses the word child. And so most scholars believe that Jesus was somewhere up to about 2 years old when this took place. So, if you have a manger scene and you've got the three wise men there, you might as well remove them. The most outstanding thing, though, about them is that in contrast to everyone around them, they didn't miss Christmas. And I think they can still teach us some things about how not to miss Christmas. Look at some things that they teach us. First of all, notice that they searched. They searched diligently. It wasn't unusual in those days for magi to actually look for an astrological sign that would indicate to them a new ruler had been born. Apparently, these men saw something akin to a star that signaled this new king was born to the Jews. And though astrology is forbidden in Scripture, God was willing to communicate to these men in a way they could understand. It's quite possible these men also had heard of Israel's hope for a Messiah king. Remember, the people of Israel had been scattered throughout Persia during the Babylonian exile. And no doubt they had talked about their hope of a newborn king, of a Messiah who would come. And so the people of Persia would have known of this hope that the Jewish people had. So when these men saw the star, they dropped everything and they began searching. They headed for Jerusalem. And many believe that almost 2 years of searching took place before they got to Herod. And I don't know about you, but I'm really impressed by the diligence and the patience demonstrated in their search. Some of you are seekers. And you're here today because you're seeking. And you have not discovered the Son of God yet. You haven't come into a relationship with this Jesus yet. And I want to encourage you this morning to take a lesson from the Magi. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Be patient. Ask questions. Be diligent. Listen. Pray. Search the Scriptures. I guarantee you the Son of God can be found. But for some people, He only is found after much searching. Remember what Jesus said on one occasion? Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find." That's not all they did, though. When the star led them to Bethlehem, where the child was, we're told that they were overjoyed. I guess if I'd been looking for something for 2 years and I finally found it, I'd be overjoyed as well. But joy is the absolute appropriate response to Christmas. If you don't have joy at Christmas, you miss it. When the angels saw the shepherds, remember what they said to them? They said, "I bring you good news of" what? Great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Joy upon joy. And you know what? When Elizabeth saw Mary, the Scripture says her baby leaped with joy in her womb. I don't know exactly how that works, but that's pretty cool. This is a joy that comes not from outward circumstances, but from knowing the reality of who Jesus is. These men had to suspect that they were in great danger from Herod, but still, they had great joy. How about you? Do you see this as a season that is depressing, or is a burden, or is it a joy? And I remind you that joy is not a feeling. You know, we sometimes think joy is kind of like the fog that rolls into San Francisco. You just have no control over it at all. You have it or you don't. It's a mystery. But no, in Scripture, we're commanded to have joy. In Scripture, we're commanded to rejoice. And so some of us need to command ourselves. Self, rejoice. You have every reason to rejoice, self. Why are you rejoicing? Why are you so stressed out? Why are you so full of burdens? Why are you so preoccupied with other things? Rejoice! You have a Savior who was born for you. Notice what else they did. Not only did they search and rejoice, it says they bowed down and they worshiped Him. At first, they may not have even really understood the significance of what they were doing, because it was customary back then to bow down to kings. But we see here a hint that perhaps, just perhaps, they began to recognize the true identity of the child, that He's God in the flesh, He's worthy of worship. I believe these magi must have sensed this was more than just another king. And I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder, could these magi have been the very first Gentile believers in Jesus? Will we see them in heaven? I think we will. Might their eyes have been open to the reality of who Jesus was? I think they were. And perhaps that is why they worshiped him. But it's a reminder to us that, you know, Christmas is a time for worship. If you don't worship well, both individually, in your closet, and corporately with the people of God, then you miss Christmas entirely. Think about that song we sang earlier this morning, you know, "Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." There's something still else that they did. These wise men, these magi, they gave. It says they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think this is where we get the myth of three wise men, because there were three gifts. Gold and frankincense, of course, were normal gifts for a king. Gold is a symbol of royalty. And frankincense was an expensive fragrance. Some even say that frankincense actually symbolized deity because it was used in the temple. But the one that confounds us is the gift of myrrh. Why would you give someone something that was actually used to embalm the dead? That's what myrrh was used for. Very strange gift to give to a king. But the gift of myrrh seems to foreshadow the fact that this baby was really born to die. It foreshadows the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And without even knowing it, God was speaking of this child's destiny through their choice of gifts. He would one day grow up and suffer and die for the sins of the world. He'd give his life for us. And I think it's quite clear that this is why we give gifts at Christmas. And this is where it all started, right? It started with these gifts given by the Magi. So I mean, just think about that. All the marketing, all the money spent, I mean, all the stuff, you know, that happens at Christmas around the whole gift-giving tradition. It started with these dudes. That's pretty surprising. There's one more thing about these guys that I think is worth mentioning, that they changed. So we know that they were warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. Remember, he said, "Come back, I want to worship this guy," which was ridiculous. They listened to God's warning and were told that they changed their course in going home. So they probably instead went south to Hebron and then north along the coast to Gaza through Nazareth and Capernaum and then on to Damascus. And this would have been quite a hike for anyone. But there, I think, is probably a double meaning in this. Because not only did they change their course in a geographical sense, could it be that they also changed their course spiritually? We can imagine that the whole course of their lives, as many as of ours have been, were changed by their encounter with this baby. And that's what this child does to those who come to know him. If you come to know this child, I guarantee you, he will rearrange the entire trajectory of your life. You had plans, you had things to do, you had places to go, you were going to do this, you were going to do that, and Jesus comes into your life and he says, "I've got a plan for you, and I know best for you." And some of you right now, your life hasn't quite turned out exactly like you thought, and you wonder, "God, what are you up to?" But you know what? God has the right to set the course of your life. And if God chooses to change the course from what you expected or what your parents expected, that's his prerogative. And there are many of us who have come to see that maybe, just maybe, his plan for us is better than our plan. I think that's what the wise men eventually figured out. So if you don't want to miss Christmas, take a lesson from the Magi. Depending on where you're at in your journey, you might need to just keep seeking him diligently. Keep knocking on the door. Keep asking questions. If you found him, the way not to miss Christmas is to rejoice, have joy and worship Him and give generously to Him and submit to Him fully. I heard a fun story about a family several years ago who decided to go out one Christmas Eve, and they decided, you know, we're going to go out and we're going to go from house to house and we're going to go caroling. And so that's what they did. And they came to one of the homes in their neighborhood, and they stopped, and they wanted to have the people come out, of course, so they could sing them a Christmas song. And there was confusion, and there was commotion, and there was tension inside this house. And so finally, the lady inside, she peeked out of the front door, and she said, "Not now, please. It's not a good time for us. We've got too much going on." And the gentleman at the door was very kind, and he just said, "Yes, ma'am, no problem." And he just moved on to the next house. Little did that lady inside the house know that the man she was speaking to, whose family wanted to carol with him, was Bing Crosby. For those of you who don't know, he was a famous singer. White Christmas. And it's possible for us to miss the one who came to visit us at Christmas. As wonderful as family is, Christmas is not just about family being together. As important as it is to care for the poor and the needy, it's not just about the spirit of giving. As appropriate as it is to celebrate with time off and decorations and good food, it's not about having a good time. Christmas is really all about God coming to our door and ringing the doorbell in a last-ditch effort to rescue us. It's about God visiting us in the person of Jesus, who was born to die. It's about God as a fetus. It's about holiness sleeping in a womb with elbows, kidneys, and a spleen. It's about total surrender to a new king. Anything short of that, and we miss Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time of the year where we get to reflect on the meaning and the significance of the birth of our King. Forgive us, Lord, for so often getting wrapped up in all the trappings of Christmas and forgetting what it's all about. Teach us to worship Him. Teach us to seek Him. Teach us to give to Him. Teach us to fix our attention upon Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this world, even as a tiny baby, so vulnerable. Thank you so much for being willing to follow the Father's plan for your life and die for our sins. And thank you that you live today, seated at the right hand of the Father, even to make intercession for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.